Today's shiur is Masechet Babatzia Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, El Hodotnan. Yesterday, the Gemara introduced a new concept. The Gemara introduced the concern that when we have a shtar in front of us with a date, we have to be concerned that really, perhaps, the shtar was written earlier, but not actually used until later. And therefore the lekuchas, people who purchased property from the loiva, there should be no mortgage on those properties because the havah did not take place yet. And the Gemara said that we're only concerned about that when there's a reisa, as we said at the end of the shiur. Here in our mishnah, the shtar fell on the floor. Ask the Gemara, El Hodotnan. The mishnah says, Masechta B'Basra, if a loiva comes to a cipher and asks that the shtar be written on his behalf, since it's the loiva that's requesting, and the loiva is only to the shtar is only to the detriment of the loiva, because based on the shtar he's going to have to pay, so the shtar can be written. Ask the Gemara, given the concern that we now have become aware of, how could a cipher write a shtar under such circumstances? Should we not be concerned? Maybe the loiva approached him on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and that's the date that he'll write into the shtar. However, the actual hava only took place in Tishrei, and the lekuchas could be adversely affected. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Asi, Bishtari Hakno Doshabad Nafshe. Which means as follows. Says of Asi, absolutely. Under normal circumstances, if a loiva approaches a cipher to write a shtar, and the malva is not there, cipher should not write the shtar. Only one circumstance. There's a shtar that's known as a shtar Hakno. A shtar Hakno means that, this is the Rashi learns, that the loiva is obligating himself to pay to the malva this amount that's in the shtar, even if he never gets any money. That's his obligation. So what are we concerned? That maybe the havah didn't take place, or maybe the havah took place later? There is no concern, because he owes the money anyway. Machloikus was showing him exactly how the shtar akna is constructed. Rashi seems to learn that it's a type of shtar, that the shtar represents a type of an obligation that the loiva has, that he owes the money no matter what. Other Rishonim seem to suggest that the shtar may be a regular shtar, but there's a special, separate kinyan obligating the loiva to pay no matter what. And perhaps this machlokas Rishonim really is contingent on another machlokas Rishonim. Also, machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says, what happens if this person never ends up borrowing money from the malva? Is it still considered shtar akna? So Rashi says, absolutely. The fact that he does or doesn't end up borrowing doesn't change the reality that he obligated himself to pay the amount that's in the shtar. Ben Chananel says that even though shtar akna represents this very strong, interesting obligation, it's only an obligation if he ends up borrowing the money. So it could be. According to Rashi, it has to be written to the shtar, because that's what this is all about. There's a special shtar that the loiva has to pay no matter what. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's really just a stronger shtar halvo, and therefore there has to be a halvo. So what we're learning now is a new din, that even though the Mishnah, as we quoted a moment ago, says in Masechta Baba Basra, a shtar can be written for the loiva, even though the malva is not present, that's only by shtar hakno, no other situation. Every other situation was concerned, cost of lulvus benissim v'loi lova b'tishrei. Ask the Gemara, I hokid masnissim. Our Mishnah said, diktoni, im yesh ban achrayis nechosim lo yachzer. That if there's a achrayis nechosim in the shtar, the halacha is that the shtar should not be given back. For Kimna, we explained that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, that the loiva agrees that he owes the money. But the concern we said in the Mishnah was that we still shouldn't give the Mava back to Shtar, even though the Loiva is agreeing that he owes the money, because we have to be concerned. Shema Kosta Lovos Benissin, V'loi Lova Tishrei. And then, also, Lamitriv Lakuchas Loikadin, the Lakuchas will be adversely affected. The question is, Amai Lo Yachzer, why shouldn't we give it back? Nechsi, let's examine the Shtar. If Shtar Hakno, if the Mishnah is referring to Shtar Hakno, so as we just finished explaining, by Shtar Hakno, the date of the Shtar must be correct. Because Hoshabal Nafshei, as we explained, the Shtar obligates him whether he received the money or didn't receive the money. If, on the other hand, Bishtar Deloy Akno, that it's a regular Shtar, Lekla Mechish, what are we worried about? The cost of Lovas Benissin, Veloy Lova Tishrei, that can never happen. Do Amrit, didn't we just explain that on a regular Shtar, the halacha is, if the malva is not present, like a svinin, we never write the shtar. So what kind of a shtar are we referring to? Amalei, Rav Asi. So Rav Asi is going to explain that our Mishnah's afgav the shtar de lavatna. It's talking about a regular shtar, not the special shtar akna. And absolutely, by regular shtar, kilekam malva baday, like a svinin. If the malva is not there, we don't write the shtar. So if the malva was there, why are we concerned that kosalulvus benisim loy lava tishrei? The malva was there. Obviously, the halva took place. Answers the Gemara, a difficult answer to explain. Kivin the nafal, since this shtar fell, was found in the street, Israelay, like we said at the end of the previous year, we have your eraser. Shtars aren't wrapped and left in the street. The chashin and dimly ikri v'kosav. We have to be concerned that the shtar was written without the malva, which is a very difficult pshat, and everybody tries to understand, which is really a bias kasha in a moment. But let's try to explain this opinion, Ravasi's opinion. The fact that the shtar was found on the street leads us to be concerned that in this situation, the shtar was written without the malva there. So the question is obvious. If the halach is that the soif is not allowed to write the shtar under that circumstances, so why would we have such a concern that it happened? It's illegal to do it. So one pshat that I saw, that's sort of a hashkofa type of teretz. Usually they don't mix hashkofa with halacha, but maybe here we have no choice, is as follows. Nothing in life happens without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without some sort of hashgacha pratis. If a shtar, of course, if I, the malva, present you the loiva with a shtar, and I'm holding the shtar, so the halacha is we have no reason to be concerned. Everything is normal. We don't have to be concerned that the shtar is not good. We don't have to be concerned that the shtar, if the halacha is that the malva has to be present, that the malva and the loiva weren't both there. Here, something abnormal happened. The shtar was found in the street. Shtars aren't usually in the street. Maybe there's a message being sent. There's something wrong here. That's one pshat. But then the Ritva has a whole different explanation of the Gemara, which helps us understand this opinion a lot better. The Ritva says as follows. Now that the Gemara is teaching us that the halach is, if it's not a shtar hakno, the din is that the malva and the loiva both have to be present when the shtar is actually written by the cipher. What does that mean? So actually, I saw three opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion, probably the simplest opinion, is that in order for a shtar to be written, the malva and the loiva both have to be present. They have to be both be present when the shtar is written. The edim and everybody have to be present when the malva gives the money to the loiva. And they have to be present when the loiva gives the shtar to the malva. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is that all you need is that the malva and loiva should give the cipher instruction to write the shtar, and we should see the loiva give the malva the shtar, and we don't have to see the malva give the loiva the money. And a third opinion is even more lenient. As long as the malva and the loiva both come to the cipher and tell him to write the shtar, so the cipher received directive from both, that's enough. So now says Ritva, beautiful pshat in the Gemara. If we follow the second or third opinion that we just quoted, then the halacha will be, then it's very possible that the Malvin Leiva gave instructions to the Seifa together to write the Shtar. And that even maybe Adam saw how the Malva gave the Leiva the Shtar, how the Leiva gave the Malva the Shtar. And under normal circumstances, we certainly should assume that the money was also given on that date. However, it is always possible that even though that they both instructed the Seifer to write the Shtar today, and even we saw the Leiva give the Malva the Shtar today, the money might have been given later. And therefore, since in a case like this we have a race, we have to be concerned, Shemakos Lovas Benissen, Veloy Lova Atishrei, even though they were both there when the Shtar was written on Rosh Chodesh Nissen. But Abaya disagrees. Abaya Amar Eda B'Chasimu Zoychen Loi. Vafilu Shtar De Lava Kno. Abaya teaches us a new concept. Abaya says it has nothing to do with Shtar Kno. Every Shtar, when Adam signed the Shtar, that's when the clock starts ticking. Mishum De Kashle, because Abaya had the question. Kivin the Amar, since we just said, B'Shtar De Lava Kno. In a regular shtar, the malva is not there. We don't write the shtar. We don't have to be concerned that Shema Kosev Lulus Benissim Vloy Lovat Tishrei. So Abaya, and the Rishonim actually debate, what forced Abaya to say what he's saying before we go deeper into Abaya's Pshat? Did Abaya have the kasha, which we just quoted on the previous Pshat, that if the halacha is that the malva is supposed to be there every time, why is the halacha that we're concerned if we find the shtar and the loiva agrees that the shtar was a proper shtar? Or a different approach, which is actually Tosfos' approach, is that Abaye wasn't addressing Rav Asi. Abaye was teaching us a simple halacha. Abaye was teaching us that the halacha is Eida b'chasayim of Zoychen Loi, that every shtar, when does the clock start ticking? When the Adam, from the date that the Adam signed. Machloikis ha'achroinim. What does Adam v'chassoyim of Zoychen Loi mean? Or how does it work? Some achroinim say it's a special takonas chazal. It's a special takonas chazal that from when the Adam signed the shtar, that's when the obligation begins. Other achroinim explain that that is the power of Adam. The power of Adam is that they are able to create a shibud. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? The nafkamina between these two pshatim, perhaps, is the nafkamina, is a shaila that Tosfos raises. We're saying now a new chiddush. Eida b'chassayim of Zoychen Loi. Every shtar, as soon as the Eidim sign, that's when the clock starts ticking. So the Rishonim debate, is this by every shtar or not? What do I mean? There are really two types of shtars. There's something known as a shtar raya. A regular shtar halva is a shtar raya. I owe you money. And what's the proof that I owe you the money? That you have a document that says I owe you the money. And then we have what's called a shtar kinyan. What's the best example of a shtar kinyan? The first Mishnah Masechet Kedushin. He should nicknas b'shloish drachim, because of a shtar or b'biya. Shtar can make a kinyan. So the machloikas rishonim, that when we say this concept of eida b'chassoyim of zoichan loi, what do we mean? Do we mean by shtar kinyan? Or do we say by every shtar? So if we follow the approach that this is a special takonas chazal, that from when the Adam signed, that's when the shtar becomes active, so it doesn't make a difference if it's a shtar raya or shtar kinyan. Chazal established that every shtar should begin from when the Adam signed. If it's the second shot that we suggested, that it has to do with the fact that the Adam are the ones that create a shtar, that's because they're the ones that give life to the shtar, they're the most relevant players in the validity of a shtar, then it would only be a shtar kinyan, not by shtar raya. So Abaye is saying that every shtar starts from when the Adam signed. One question that the Rishonim ask is when we learned Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we've actually found this concept in other Masechtas, but particularly Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara keeps on speaking about a shtar mugdam, a predated shtar. How could you ever have a predated shtar? From when the Adam signed it, then the shtar is a shtar. What's pshat that there's a psul of a disqualification called a shtar mugdam? So Rishonim say, Eidim b'chassayim b'zoichan loi means that, let's say today is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the Eidim signed the shtar today, even if the havah didn't take place yet, the shtar is active. The shtar is valid. But what would happen if the Eidim signed the shtar today, indeed Rosh Chodesh Nissan? But the date in the shtar that's written is Rosh Chodesh Adar. That would still be certainly a possible shtar. That's the definition, according to Abaya, of a shtar mugdam. Ask the Gemara, El Hadatnan. We learned in a Mishnah. Matzigitin Noshim v'shachrur evodim. If a get, or a document that frees an evid, daitki. Daitki means, we know throughout Shas, we counter the subject of a shchimera, the rights as a will that has special dinim. Matana means a shtar matana, or a shoivrim is a receipt that somebody got paid what they were supposed to get paid. Hareza lo yachsa. We don't return it. Shemek sum haya. Maybe these documents were properly written. However, what the documents represent never happened. V'nim l'chalem shloi litnam. So the question is, after we learn Abai's concept, v'chinim l'chalem mahava, even if the person who wrote it and had it properly signed changed his mind, didn't Abai just teach us v'amrit edov b'chazam esaychen loy? As soon as the signature is there, it doesn't have to happen. The signature has to happen to make the shtar valid. And as the Rishita points out, the Gemara's question is particularly from Daitki Matana. As long as the shtar was properly written and signed, it's a valid shtar. Answers the Gemara, even if we'll say the Edov b'chasom of Zoychen Loi, hani milehech tekamat aliyadei, that what the shtar says ultimately happened. Aval hech de loymat aliyadei loyamina, which means as follows. Let's say that the shtar hava, and the shtar hava says Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Even if the actual Hava did not take place till Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, as long as the Hava ultimately happened, Eidah B'chasayim of Zoychen Loi teaches us that the clock starts ticking from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. But let's say the Hava never took place, that even if we follow the concept of Eidah B'chasayim of Zoychen Loi, the shtar is worthless. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that if we found the shtar, perhaps it will be worthless, even though it has properly signed Adam. The now goes further to Gemara, El Masnissen. Now let's try to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah Diktoni. Matz Shtar Chayiv, if a Shtar Chayiv was found. Im Yeshba Achrayis Nechosim, if there's Achrayis Nechosim, Lo Yachsim. Don't give it back, even if Vakimna, and we explain the Mishnah, Kshechayiv Moida. That even if the Loiva agrees that he still owes the money, you can't give it back to the Malva. Why? Because the concern was, as we said already in yesterday's shir, Mishum Shema Kosov Luvus Benissin, V'loilava Atishrei. So Bishlom L'Rav Asi, according to Rav Asi's opinion that we began the shir with today, the Omer B'Shtara Aknaisa, that only by Shtara Akno does the clock start ticking from the date that the Adam signed. So we explained that our Mishnah is referring B'Shtara D'Lava Aknaisa, because I'm reading that our Mishnah is talking about a shtar that's not a shtar akna, and we have to be concerned that since we found the shtar on the street, that maybe this shtar was cost of lulvis benissin v'lulva atishrei. El abaya. But we followed the opinion of abaya that we just quoted. So there's no difference between a shtar akna and any other shtar. So why is the din, asked the Gemara, why is the din that we have to be concerned that if the loiva admits that he wrote the shtar, we don't give it back to the malva, what should we be concerned for? There's no concern of cost of lulus benissin loiva atishrei according to Abaya. Mayik lemeima. Amuch Abaya. So he spans Abaya. Masnissin ha'inatama. There's a whole new concern now, Mishnah. The chashena leporan lekanunya, which happens as follows. And this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara's teretz. There's a loiva and there's a malva. And the loiva borrowed money from the malva, pays him back. What ought to happen is that the malva should return the shtar to the loiva, and the loiva should rip it up. The loiva and the malva decide to conspire to make the following arrangement. The loiva says to the malva, and the Rishonim make this point, I have no assets. So if you now, the malva, go and say that I owe you the money, still, who will have to pay? Not me. I don't have any money. We'll go to the Lekuchas. And then you and I will divide the money again. So we're concerned, leperon lekenunya, that the liver paid up the money and now makes this arrangement. They go through this whole charade, find a star in the street. The liver will agree that he didn't pay. The malva will say, pay, I don't have any money. Go to the lekuchas, and then to divide the money. So according, that's the concern, even if there's a chrayis nechasim. So therefore, if there's a chrayis nechasim in the star, even if the liver says that he didn't pay, we can't give it back to the malva. Ask the Gemara, Ula Shmuel. However, the opinion of Shmuel, as we will learn, the Amma, Loi Chashinen, Leproyen, Ula Kanunya, that Shmuel is not concerned for this kind of collusion. And why is Shmuel not concerned with this type of collusion? Explain the Rishonim. Because Shmuel said if they wanted to play this game, they wouldn't go through the whole charade of the liver paying the malva and then having the shtar drop. That we just go straight and make this, that the loivish has nothing to pay with, and let's go after the lekuchas. So Shmuel is not concerned for this. Mayik lameima. So how will Shmuel explain our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Hanicha yisav l'krav Asi, if Shmuel will agree with Rav Asi versus Abaya. The Rav Asi says that only by shtar akno does the clock start ticking from the date of the shtar versus every other shtar that it doesn't. So we'll say that our Mishnah is talking about Esav Lekrav Asi, that only by Shtar Akno do we start the clock ticking from the date of the Shtar. So Mukilah Misnisen, Shmuel will say our Mishnah, as a Rav Asi said it twice today already in today's shir, B'shtar Delav Akno, it's a regular Shtar. And since it's found on the street, we have to be concerned the cost of Luvas Benissen V'Lelava Tishrei. So even though the Loiv is admitting that he still owes the money, we may cheat the lekuchas. Eli isav kabaya. If Shmuel will agree with the opinion of Abaya, that says that by every shtar, aid of b'chasoyim of zoichan loy, and we follow the date of the shtar, so we don't have to worry the cost of luvus benis v'loy lava tishrei, because the date of the shtar is when the clock starts ticking. So why in the Mishnah, if it's a shtar, even if it has a chrayis nechasim, but if the loyve is moida that he owes the money, why don't we give back the shtar to the malva? Ma'ik l'meima, answers the Gemara, Shmuel mukil masnisen. Shmuel will explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, kishchein chayiv moida, that the loiva doesn't agree that he still owes the money. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is referring to, then we have another question. Ihochi, our Mishnah said, ki ein ba achrayis nechasim. If there is no achrayis nechasim, then we do give the shtar back to the malva. The question is obvious. Why do we give it back to the malva? We understand that the malva won't be able to go to Mishabadim because this is a shtar that doesn't have that clause in it that he's allowed to go after the lekuchas. However, he's still going to collect from the b'nei chayrim of the loiva. And the loiva is saying, I don't owe the money. So why are we just giving it back to the malva? Answers the Gemara, Shmuel Tamei. Shmuel follows his opinion. The Amar Shmuel, Oimer Hay Rameya, Shtar Chayv Sh'en B'Achrayis Nechasim. Any shtar that's missing the Achrayis Nechasim, and a Gov Elayv B'Mishad Elayv Nechayri. What are you worried about? That the Elayv is saying, I don't owe the money. And now we're saying, if he's saying he doesn't owe the money, why are we giving it back to the Malva? There's nothing to lose. Why is there nothing to lose? Because the Malva can't use it. The shtar is worthless. Why is the shtar worthless? Because Shmuel says, according to Rameya, a shtar that is missing the clause that says Achrayis Nechasim disqualifies the entire shtar. And the Rishonim, the Achroinim, spent a lot of time and resources to understand why a shtar that's missing that clause is totally worthless. Rashi says that a shtar that's missing that clause falls into the category of a milvah peh. And we know that by a milvah peh, if there is no shtar, no written document, and I come and I say, you owe me money, hamaytzi mechaver al v'raya. That's how Rashi learns. Ramban says that since the halacha is that a shtar has to have this clause in it, any shtar missing this clause is considered a forgery. Chiddush. Another version of Rishonim, a little easier to understand, is that everything has to have a tzura. Everything has a certain form it has to follow. And if it doesn't follow that form, it's a chaspa ba'alma. A shtar is supposed to have a clause that speaks about a chrayis nechasim, about creating a lien. And if it doesn't have that clause, it's completely disqualified. Another pshat, interesting pshat, is this is an interesting phenomenon. Every shtar has in it a chrayis nechasim, that the loiva puts a lien on his property. Why didn't the malva not insist on that clause? It must be that the malva was meichel. Said, I don't need that clause. So just like we say that we have to be concerned that he didn't need the clause that all my property becomes mortgaged, he also forgave the entire loan. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger, last pshat that I'll quote, says another pshat. It says a very interesting pshat. He says that a shtar without a... What's the entire discussion that we have in all these sugyas about law shtars, says Rebbe Akiva Eiger? The shtar is found on the floor. And the question is, who lost it? Did the malva lose it? Or did the loiva lose it? So he says, because if the loiva paid back his choiv, and the malva gives him back his shtar, he ought to be very careful not to let that shtar end up on the floor. Because it's a real problem if the malva gets the shtar again, and he'll have to pay another time. When is the loiva careful? If the shtar has in it this clause of achrayis nechasim. But if the shtar doesn't have in it the clause of achrayis nechasim, the loiva doesn't really watch it. Because he doesn't think that this is really a very strong document. And that's why when the loiva says that he paid, or that it's a ziyuf, even though in another situation we perhaps would not believe him, this shtar that really doesn't have that much strength, we believe him. But then the Rishonim ask another question. What is the loiva claiming in this Gemara, as we're explaining the Mishnah now, according to Shmuel? He's saying that this shtar is a ziyuf. This shtar is a ziyuf. It's forgery. And we believe him, and even if we're giving it back to the malva, the Gemara is saying he could do nothing with it. Ask the Mefarshim, the Rishonim asked this question. Why do we believe him? Let the malva go be Mekayim, the Edom, well, and there'll be the best proof that what the loiva is saying is untrue, because we had a Kiyum Shtaris. So some Rishonim answer, this is the answer most Rishonim suggest, that once we have a Reisa, that the Shtar, as I keep on repeating, was found on the floor, Kiyum won't help authenticate the Shtar. But the Rajba, and this is the way the Tumim, Urim V'Tumim, explains the Rajba, says a beautiful Pshat. He says, we're concerned that if we give the shtar back to the malva, we'll give him the power to collect with the shtar even without kiyum. That's the simple words of the Rajba, which everybody doesn't understand. If kiyum is required, so kiyum is required. Says the Urim V'Tumim, a beautiful pshat. As we've learned when we discussed the Masechta Ksubos, how is kiyum done? How are we mekayim shtar? So the Gemara Masechta Ksubos taught us there's two ways of being mekayim shtar. One way is that the Edom come in to Beis Din and say, yeah, this was our signatures. The other way is that we have documents in the court files with Edom that already signed shtaris, and we compare the signatures. Says the Urim V'Tumim. Even though normally Kiyum Shtaris, either method, is an acceptable method on how to accomplish Kiyum Shtaris, that's when the Kiyum Shtaris is only midrabanon, just for extra protection. Here, there's a claim that the shtar is a forgery. The kiyum isn't some sort of a nice thing to do. It's essential to the validity that the malva should be able to use the shtar. In such a situation, the only type of kiyum that would work is if we have the Edom coming and saying, this is our testimony, this is our signature. But Chazal were concerned that since we're so accustomed to do kiyum, the other method, just comparing signatures, here too, we'll do kiyum in that fashion. But here, that type of kiyum is inadequate. That's why Chazal said, the shtar becomes impassable. So ask the Gemara, v'chimach shenegoiv. If we're saying now, as we just explained, that since this shtar is missing the clause of achrayis, so even giving back to the malva doesn't bother me, because the malva could do nothing with the shtar, So Mayi Hachzer, why are we giving it to him? What can he do with it? He can't collect any money with it. Amar Rav Nosser Bar Oishia, Lotsa Pitzel Chusa Shomava. He could use it as a cork, as a bottle cover. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though we said earlier in our Perek that we don't, shtaris weren't written for bottle covers, so answer the Mefarshim, when do we say that concept? If you and I are fighting over a shtar, and all we could use the shtar for is to use as a bottle cover, people aren't going to fight over a shtar that all they could do with it is use it for a bottle cover. Here there's no fight, we're just giving it back to the Malva. Why not? Ask the Gemara, the Nehadrile Leloiva, if all you could use this shtar is to use it for bottle cover, why are we giving it to the mouth and not to the loiva? So the Rishonim Rishonim ask the obvious question. This Gemara, we could predict, would work this way. The Gemara is asking, why are you giving it to the mouth to cover his bottle? Give it to the loiva. And what would have been if the Gemara would have said, so give it to the loiva to cover his bottle? What would have the Gemara done? The Gemara says, so why not give it to the mouth? So what's pshat in the Gemara's kasha? So they say a beautiful pshat. We had this concept many times. When a shtar has to be written, al gemara, shtar alva, I'm borrowing money from you. As we said, it was written in those days by a cipher. Who pays the cipher's fees? The loiva. He's the one that's getting the benefit. He's getting the money. So ask the gemara, if we're giving the shtar back to somebody, to use only as a bottle cover, wouldn't it make more sense to give it to the loiva? He's the one that paid for it. So shouldn't he be the one to get back the shtar, not the malva? The nehadri lulaloiva lotsu apitz l'chusay shaloiva. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Under normal circumstances, I would return it to the loiva. But here the loiva is saying, according to him, this whole thing is a fake. It's a forgery. That's why we give it to the malva. Says the Gemara, Amar Abelazar, Machlaikis, the Machlaikis between Ramei and the Chachamim is b'sh'ein chayiv moida. When the loiva is not agreeing that he owes the money. The Ramei is of the opinion, shtar she'en by achrayis nechosim, a shtar that doesn't have it in achrayis nechosim, and a goy v'loiv m'shabdi v'loiv b'nei chayrim. You don't, it's useless. So why, as we just kept on explaining, so why not give it back to the malva? He can't do anything with it anyway. Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan hold, migve govi, it is use. It has a use. And therefore, since it can be used, and the loiva is saying that this shtar is a fraud, you can't give it back to anybody. Avil kishchayiv moida, but let's say the loiva is agreeing that he owes the money. According to Rabbi Lazar, there is no machloikis between Ramei and the Chachamim. Everybody will agree. Divrei Hakol yachzer. The loiva gives it, we give it back to the malva. And according to Rabbi Lazar's understanding, lachashinan, we don't have to be concerned, leperoyin lekanunya, we don't have to be concerned that the loiva and the malva conspired, that the loiva should say, I still owe the money, that the malva should be able to collect money from the lekuchas, and then they'll divide the money between themselves. Rabbi Yochanan has a different interpretation of the machlaikis. Machlaikis, kshchayiv moida, the loiva agrees that he owes the money. The Ramei is of the opinion, even though the shtar doesn't have the clause that the lekuchas, that there's a mortgage, and that the lekuchas will have to pay if the loiva can't pay, what does that mean? If we don't have this clause, we can't go to the lekuchas. Avol b'nei chayri migve gavi. You could collect from the b'nei chayrim of the loiva. And therefore, if the loiva is claiming that he doesn't owe the money, we can't give back the malva the shtar. Because the malva will use the shtar to collect from the loiva, and the loiva says, I don't owe the money, and the shtar was found in the street. The malva isn't any stronger than the loiva. Rabbanan savri, and the Rabbanan hold, as we're going to learn tomorrow shir, the concept of a chrayis tar cipher, and that a shtar, even though it doesn't have in it the clause that obligate, that puts a mortgage on all of the loiva's property, it's automatic. And therefore, if the shtar, even if it's missing that clause, we could collect from the lekuchas. Rabbanan savri, mishabdi nami gavir. And therefore, even if the loiva agrees that he owes the money, but the lekuchas will be damaged because maybe they'll be cheated. And therefore, we can't give the shtar back to the malva. Avo, says Rabbi Yochanan, ksh'ein chayiv moida. if the loyver doesn't agree that he owes the money, the rakol lo yachser. There, everybody agrees that we don't give the malva back. The chashin and the prime, we have to be concerned that the loyver is saying the truth. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei, Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, there's a braisa that corroborates Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the machlokes of Ramei Rabbanan, the Tiyufta, the Rabbi Lozer, Bechada, and according to this braisa, Rabbi Lozer's understanding of the machlokes is refuted with one kasha, the Tiyufta, the Shmuel, Betarti. And Shmuel's understanding of the braisa of the machlokes of Ramei and Rabbanan are refuted with two kashas. And the Gemara explains. First, the Gemara obviously quotes the braisa. The braisa says, the braisa is explaining the case of our Mishnah. If a shtar chayiv was found on the street, and it has in it this clause, even though both the malva and the loiva say that the loiva still owes the malva money, is the halacha, we don't give back to anybody because we don't want, we're afraid that the lekuchas will be illegitimately affected because maybe, as we learned before, or we have to be concerned maybe a parah and v'kinyan. So the lekuchas aren't going to be affected. So b'zman shaloiva moida, if the loiva says that he still owes the money, yachs lamalva, we give the shtar back to the malva, because we don't have to worry about the lekuchas, they're not going to be affected anyway. And the loiva says he owes the money. Ein loiva moida, if the loiva doesn't admit that he owes the money, layachs loyla zev loyla zed de vermeya. Rameya says that we don't give back the shtar. Shahari Rameya Omer, because says the braisa, Rameya's opinion is, shtari chayiv shiesh b'machrayis nechasim, shtari chayiv that have this clause, goyvim nechasim shabadim, we could collect from the Chosim Shabadim, the She'ein by Machrayis Nechosim, but if it doesn't have an in Achrayis Nechosim, Goivim Nechosim Nechoyim. And therefore, if the loiva is not agreeing that he owes the money, we can't give back the malva to the shtar, because the malva is going to go collect from the loiva, and the loiva is saying, I don't owe the money. The Chaimim, Echadzeh Ve'echadzeh, even by shtar, that's missing the clause, as we keep on saying, Achrayis Tah Cipher. So even if the clause is not there, it's as if it's there. And government chas mishabadim. So certainly, we can't give back the malva de shtar because the lekuchas may be adversely cheated. So says the Gemara. To yofte Rebbe Lozer b'chada. So now the Gemara points out why there's a question Rebbe Lozer. One question Rebbe Lozer. Domer. Rebbe Lozer said according to Rameya, shtar she'en by achrayis nechasim. The shtar that doesn't have it in it, achrayis nechasim, ain't a goyva. As we learned and we explained at length on the before, that according to Rebbe Loz's understanding of Rameya, a shtar that's missing that clause is a worthless clause, is a worthless shtar. Goyv, ain't a goyva min nechasim shabad v'loy b'nei chasim nechayrim. If it's missing that clause, we gave five reasons, it's totally worthless. And here we say, the comma, and he said, and furthermore, he said, Bein l'Rameya, Bein l'Rabbanan, they're both according to Minya, Rameya, Rabbanan, Loi Cheshina, L'Kanunya, were not worried that they may have conspired the Loiva and the Malva, or Braisa Ktani, yet the Braisa clearly teaches us, Shtar She'en Bar Chrayis Nechosim, if it's missing that clause, Mi Mish'abdi Hu D'Loi Gavi, you can't use it to collect from the Lekuchas. Ha B'nei Chayim Magva Gavi. B'Ktani, furthermore, the Braisa says, we are concerned that the loiva and the malva colluded. Even though the loiva and the malva agree, so we see that this braisa doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe Lozer. But ask the Gemara. We just said that there's one kasha on Rebbe Lozer. There isn't one kasha on Rebbe Lozer. There are two kashas on Rebbe Lozer. One kasha is that Rebbe Lozer says that a shtar that doesn't have a chrayis nechasim is useless. And here we see that it is worthwhile to collect from nechayrim. Furthermore, Rebbe Lozer says that we're not concerned about this conspiracy, and the braisa seems to say we are concerned for the conspiracy. So we have two kashas. Why do we say that we only have one kasha? For hani tatihu, we have two kashas. Answers the Gemara. Chadahu, chadahu. Even though we actually have two kashas, but they all emanate from one point. And explains the Gemara. The chad tamhu. It all emanates from one point. Vishum the kamar belaza. Because of Elazar said, machloikis b'shein chayiv moida. That the machloikis between Rameya and Rabbanan is in a situation where the loiver doesn't agree that he owes the money. That forced Rabbi Elazar to explain that if the loiver doesn't agree. So now we have a question, why according to Rameya did he give back the shtar? If he's screaming that I don't owe the money. And that forced Rameya to say, that forced Rabbi Elazar to explain that according to Rameya, because he can't do anything with the shtar. And we have to be worried, and we don't have to be worried about conspiracy, because we're worried about conspiracy. That should be the concern. So it all emanates from his one point. So it's considered only one kasha. Says the Gemara, Tiyuft de Shmuel v'tarti. And Shmuel is refuted with two points. Chodet ker belozer. One is the same as we said ber belozer. Deha muki masnisin v'she'en chayiv moida. He explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the loiver is not admitting, and the Brisa says that it's even in a case where he's admitting. The Chada, the Omer, Shmuel, Matashtar Knob Shuk. Shmuel's opinion is, as we said earlier, that if you find a Shtar Knob on the street, Yachs Labalim, because there we don't have to be concerned that the Lekuchas will be cheated. V'loi Chashin Lepron. And we're not concerned that maybe the loiver and the Malva made this conspiracy here. Tiyufta, and that point is refuted, the Ktani Hacha, because the Brisa says, Abi Shnei Moida, even if the Loiv and the Malva agree that the money is still owed, Lo Yachsa Loi Lezeh V'Loi Lezeh, we don't return it, Alma, because we see, Cheshin L'Pran, that they may be paid off, and they have this conspiracy. The Kol Shkein Hacha, the Loiv Moida Loida, where in a case where the Loiv is not Moida, the Cheshin, that we don't have to worry about conspiracy, because they're disagreeing, but we should certainly be concerned, L'Pran, that the Loiv paid the Malva. And since the loiver paid the malva, how could we just give back the shtar to the malva? The Rishonim spend time, which we won't, on asking, Shmuel also both points emanate from one pshat. So why by Shmuel did the Gemara say there are two questions in Shmuel? And here by Rabbi Elazar, there's only one question on Rabbi Elazar. We should have said the same thing, that both questions emanate from one point. So the Rishonim answer as follows. Rabbi Elazar is not refuted explicitly. He's refuted from a diuk. Shmuel is refuted explicitly. And that's why by Shmuel the Gemara calls it two separate kashas, and Rabbi Elazar is considered only one kasha.